Reverend Deb Conklin is the pastor of St. Paul's United Methodist Church and Liberty Park United Methodist Church. Until now, both have been gathering in the same building in Spokane's Perry District. Besides digital worship services, Conklin is working to reach her parishioners, as well as the unchurched community, through daily reflections and blogging. Welcome to Faves Forward, a new podcast about how faith communities are staying connected during this coronavirus pandemic. I'm Tracy Simmons. So you're the first pastor I've talked to so far who is pastoring two congregations during COVID-19. Is that correct?
Well, technically it's correct, but about 2 years ago, they moved in together.
Okay.
So there are still two congregations, but they're sharing the building. And before they moved in together, I was doing the worship at Liberty Park first, and we were doing a very informal gathering around the table in the social hall because we had someone else using our sanctuary to help with building expenses. And so, you know, I did the worship service, the same order of service, but instead of preaching a sermon, I did a conversation with back and forth with the congregation. And all but one of my Liberty Park folks kind of preferred that. I had one person who still would have liked a sermon better. And then at 11 o'clock, I went over to Salem for where my St. Paul's folks were worshiping and did a more traditional worship with sermon type setup. And so when they moved in together, what that made possible is I could do both of those in the same place. And so they could sort out by which type of worship they wanted to be at rather than which congregation they belonged to. And so mostly it's my Liberty Park folks who come to the 9 o'clock, what we now are calling breakfast table worship. So I scramble some eggs and I usually cook some sausage or bacon and they bring muffins or donuts or whatever. And we do worship at the breakfast table, which is really cool.
That is really cool. Wow. And that's in Perry District.
Yes. 11th and Helena. Okay. And then at 11 o'clock, I do in the sanctuary, the traditional, you know, worship with a sermon. And that's got both at it. That's kind of half St. Paul's, half Liberty Park.
Okay.
And the fun thing now is we're to the point where there are folks who come, a couple folks who come, that there's really no fair way to allocate them between the two congregations because they started coming after we moved in together. And that only matters for doing the records for the conference. I mean, it doesn't matter to anybody in the actual congregation, but you know, the conference wants to know all these statistical numbers every year, and I do them by congregation. So we may have to talk about merging the two congregations so I don't have to. I mean, one of the numbers that they have included in the statistics for a couple years is people who follow your worship online, because people who have been doing online worship for a while now, even before COVID. Mm-hmm. And now that we're doing that, there's no way to allocate online numbers to one church or the other. There's, you know, no way at all. So that will be an interesting set of numbers this year.
Definitely a whole new set of analytics to look at.
Yes.
So how are the breakfast table and the traditional service translating to the web right now?
Well, so the interesting thing about that is that the breakfast table worship I do as a Zoom.
Okay.
Because we have the conversation, so it's the only way you could do it. And so that works well. And the invitation says, you know, grab some breakfast. And if you've already had breakfast, at least grab something to sip and, you know, sign in and join us. And then at 11 o'clock, I do a live stream. Because since that's a group that has already chosen not to be so interactive. And I don't have, I mean, some of the churches that do traditional services with a sermon are doing live streams so they can have, you know, different people reading the scripture and different people leading the liturgy and things like that. And I don't have enough people who particularly want to do that to make it worth that kind of effort. And so it's just me, which is not my favorite way to do it. And my pianist, one of my pianists, has come in twice now and played hymns so that I can record them so that I can go ahead and play those during the service. So I've had her doing hymns that are in the public domain so I don't have to deal with broadcast rights and stuff like that. I've watched some services from other churches, including United Methodist churches, and I don't know who has licenses and who doesn't. I haven't checked, but I get the sense people are being careless about that. So, for example, I had a friend, someone asked for an inclusive communion liturgy, and I had a friend share one that starts with a verse of a fairly contemporary hymn and ends with another verse of that hymn. And so I said something in the thread, and she goes, "Well, no, we don't have permission, so you'd have to be careful about that." I'm just kind of going, "And you're being careful, how?" So the problem I'm having, though, is I don't have a good enough system so that that music is a very good quality. So my people who come every Sunday say, "Please play it because we miss the hymns." But if somebody just drops in, I'm not sure what their evaluation is.
Right. You're right, though, to be careful, because a lot of, like, if you're going to broadcast your service, right, you could get fined or your service will get pulled off of YouTube or Facebook for breaking those laws.
You know, I'm real clear that I'm not pushing any copyrights, because if you're an enforcer, this is the time to be looking. Because there are way too many people who've not done this before doing it and not even thinking through what they're using and what that means around copyright. I mean, fortunately for us, the United Methodist Publish House has said any of the liturgy that's in our resources, you are free to broadcast. So we get to do all our liturgies and broadcast it and not have to worry about it. But the hymns are still an issue.
It's like you have a degree in law or something.
I'll be too bad.
Something I've always noticed about your churches is you're so active and you do so much, but you don't really have a lot of help. You are all alone. You don't have a lot of staff. I don't know if you have any staff other than volunteers. Is that right?
Yeah, I don't have any staff. Something that I have been thinking more about during the last 2 months as we've gone live stream is the extent to which, in addition to pastoring St. Paul's and Liberty Park, I'm still in a kind of an interesting way, sort of a chaplain to the social justice community in Spokane. So that really started with Occupy Wall Street and Occupy Spokane back in late September of 2011, when a group of clergy started attending the Occupy meetings and said, "Let us be a resource. We will be the, the Occupy chaplains like they have in Boston and a couple other places. That's the model for us. We can help you deal with conflict during the meetings," because meetings back then did involve a certain amount of somebody getting upset and all that. And so we would just take them aside and help calm them down so they didn't just derail the meeting. And I was kind of the only one who stayed around as Occupy Spokane morphed several times. And out of that came sort of this connection in which I became Pastor Deb. Like, there are still people who have never been in a church in their adult life who still see me as, "Hey, Pastor Deb, how's it going?" And so there's this kind of interesting way in which I've become, you know, sort of this chaplain to this unchurched community. And it's a community that isn't even really interested in going to church. And that was one of the things that I realized over the years was, well, this is a ministry that I think is important and that I'm committed to doing. It's not going to produce bodies in pews, which is, you know, one of the numbers my church likes to count. What's interesting, though, is I've discovered that. So when I first started doing the online, the Zoom, anybody can come to just by, you know, clicking on the thing. And so far I've been able, without Zoom bombing, to just publish that link on the event on the Facebook page so people can come. So far that's gone well. For the live stream, I had been doing the live stream on St. Paul's Facebook page because that lets me share it with Liberty Park's page and with the Oak Tree page. But a couple of weeks ago, I couldn't get my Surface to work. And so I ended up doing it on my little Samsung tablet. And I don't even remember now exactly what happened, but I couldn't make it work except on my Facebook page, my personal Facebook page. So I did it and then shared it on the other pages when it was done. But what I discovered is on the tablet, it actually tells me who watches it in a way the Surface didn't. Or maybe it's because I was doing it on my page rather than the church's page. I'm not sure. But there was something about doing it on the tablet on my page that it started telling me who was watching. And I discovered that people in the community who will never come through the doors of my church are watching the live stream. And I'm just like, way cool.
Yeah, I've heard that from other pastors as well, that their attendance, if you will, has grown and has people are tuning in from not even in Spokane, from all over the country, which is pretty interesting.
Well, so I knew the numbers were up. I mean, I knew the number of people watching it was significantly higher than you would get even if everybody in my church was watching it. But what was fascinating is because of the way I did it on my page instead of the church page on the tablet, it actually showed me who was watching. Mm-hmm. And that was cool.
That is cool.
Because that made it clear that there still is this connection with the protest community. And people were checking it out.
Yeah. And it's a little more personal too. Because if you're in church or if you're at the Oak Tree or something, you can see people's faces and know who's in attendance. Whereas if you can see who's watching, that it's almost, I mean, it's the best we have right now, right?
Yeah. Well, the problem is at the time I'm doing it, I can't see who's watching. Because I would have to put on my reading glasses to recognize the icons. And so I don't wear glasses when I'm doing the service because I want to get rid of the glare. Yeah. And so if I put my reading glasses on every time a new bubble comes up, that would be very distracting.
A little distracting, yeah. But I've noticed you're doing a lot of personal live video reflections. Is that in addition to what you're doing with the church, or is that what prompted that?
So what prompted it was early on after the stay home, stay safe order came down. I did a couple of notes, Facebook notes that I shared and published them about, you know, different issues. I've sent you a couple. And so I try to do one of those a day. And I do those on my page and then share them with the church's pages. But I have at least one person in my church who's probably never going to read those. But if I do a live stream, he will watch. And so there was something that, oh, I know. I did a live stream the day before we did our first church live stream. And did a, you know, here's what we're doing. Here's why we're doing it. I invite you to come. And for me, it was, I wanted to do it once before Sunday morning and make sure it was going to work.
Smart.
But that got a bunch of hits. So that was interesting. And then my parishioner said, I just wish you could do that every day or do that regularly. And I said, well, I could. And so then about 2 weeks ago, instead of doing the notes, I did the live stream. And of course, my parishioner thought that was great. He likes the live streams. So I think it was 3 weeks ago I did live stream, because what I've started doing now is each one has a different audience. And so my SPR chair, my staff parish chair, Craig, and I talked, and he's the one who likes the live streams. And I realized that my natural medium is the notes, both in terms of writing them and in terms of reading them. If you send me a link with a YouTube, I may watch it, I may not. I don't have the patience to sit and listen to somebody talking at me. But if you send me an article, I'm probably going to read it if it's at all interesting. I would rather read something than listen to it. Mm-hmm. But what I've discovered, so Craig and I talked, and he said, well, you could like go back and forth, you know, do one some days and do the other some days. I said, well, and yet if I get somebody who's following them and I only do it random days, they're not going to follow. They're just going to see them when they catch them. If I want somebody to follow them, they have to know that it's going to happen pretty much every day. And if I go back and forth, the people who want the live stream aren't going to get it every day. And the people who want the notes aren't going to get it every day. So neither one's going to get a following. So what I'm doing now is writing the note. And then once I've published a note, then doing the live stream on the same subject. So instead of preparing two things, and the reality is by the time I got ready to do the live stream, even when I wasn't doing the note the same day, by the time I had drafted the live stream, I'd put just as much work in as I do the notes. And so it turned out I could do both every day, and it only took, you know, maybe 5 or 10 minutes more than just doing the live stream. And what I've discovered is that more people are like Craig than like me. there are more people who will play the live stream than who read the note. And that's okay too.
Yeah, I think it's great that you've put so much thought into reaching people on whatever medium they prefer right now. And I think one appeal to the video, because I'm like you, I like to read something, but I have noticed I'm watching more reflections and stuff online, but I'm hitting the play button and then walking away. So I'm just listening to it, but I'm not sitting down watching, you know? So, but yeah, I have noticed you're blogging more too.
I am. And part of one of the things that has happened is I just feel so bad that I didn't follow through in the beginning when I was supposed to be one of your regular bloggers. And what I'm realizing, self-reflection is good for the soul. What I'm realizing is the housing project in West Central just took energy away from everything else. I mean, it was consuming.
The housing project Pastor Deb was referring to is when St. Paul's, in conjunction with Grove Community, tried to rescue a group of Craftsman homes, refurbish them, and turn them into single occupancy rooms as a way to provide affordable housing to the community. After multiple run-ins with contractors and then the city, the project ultimately failed.
So now that that's mostly done, I'm starting to think, okay, what things did I give up during that period that I would like to have back in my life? One of the silver linings of this pandemic has been that it's gotten me back to blogging again.
Yeah, I think we can use some of this time to get back into new, better habits, maybe, or learn new skills. And I think that's kind of what sounds like what you're doing in a way.
Well, one of the things that is part of my experience is I envy people who are saying, I'm tired of staying at home. I binge watched everything I want to watch. I'm running out of things to do. And I'm going, oh, please, I want to stay home. Please, I want to have nothing to do so that I can be bored. Because the first, I don't know, 3 weeks probably was just this incredibly steep learning curve of figuring out how to do a live stream and how to do it at least competently. I'm not thinking I do them well yet at all, but you know, figuring out, you know, which of my computers, because it turns out the Surface has much better visual image, but my old laptop is more reliable in various ways. You know, so what equipment and where am I going to set it up and how do I get the images right? So I love, there's a Facebook thread someplace that I came across where somebody said, I'm so tired of looking at people's noses. I wish they would put the screen up higher. You know, and those things do matter. And so at least 3 weeks was just figuring out the technology.
Yeah, I've yet to meet a clergy person who's bored yet. They seem almost more busy than they ever have been.
Oh, yeah. So I said, I'm working harder now than I've worked in 9 months. You know, when I was working on the houses, I'm working at least as hard now as I was when I was working on the houses.
You've mentioned a few times the oak tree.
Yes.
Can you talk a little bit about that, what they are doing right now, if anything?
Well, so the oak tree is, the oak tree was started as a way for people who are engaged in social justice work and who don't necessarily get much out of a traditional Sunday morning worship to have a faith community, or at least a community, I mean, kind of like Spokane Faith and Values, because one of our most active people in the beginning was an adamant atheist. So the idea wasn't necessarily that one had to be Christian to be part of the community. It was more that you were engaged or believed in social justice and were interested in being part of a community that had values-based conversations. And so basically, we did pub theology for several years, and that was fun and got pretty successful for a while. And then the Grove community was actually started by the oak tree. And so when we got involved in the housing project, once again, you know, all the energy went into that. And the pub theology kind of died out for a while. And my energy got soaked up. So that's another piece that I'm thinking about how to put back together is the concept of that community. And in particular, thinking about ways that this online ministry can enhance that. So one of my visions, probably at least a month away, is to have the oak tree have a pub theology in a Zoom session.
Yeah.
Part of me says I should be doing that right now because this is when people are doing getting together to drink online. And so if I can, I will try to put that together in the next couple of weeks because I think it would be really fun to do online pub theology.
That would be fun. I mean, it sounds like taking on one more project. You're doing your blogging and your videos every day and your discussion on Sunday morning and your church on Sunday morning. How are you? And then you're thinking about creating the oak tree presence again on Zoom. Are you having digital fatigue right now, or how are you maintaining your sanity with all of this?
Well, so the other piece is I've applied to take the bar exam this summer and get my law license back.
Wow.
So that's another piece in there. Mostly my sanity comes from working on my garden. Well, so I have my little urban farm.
That's great.
That nurtures my soul.
That's wonderful. And before I let you go, I guess people can peruse your blog or your reflections, but in case they don't have Facebook or they're just kind of getting to know you today, what are some words of hope you have for people in this time right now? Especially to maybe people who call you Pastor Deb, who will never walk into your church, the unchurched community that you've developed.
A couple things, I think. One is, it seems to me that this time is helping all of us kind of sort out faith communities that are deeply committed to social justice and to helping go from the world as it is to the world as it should be. And faith communities that are mostly about bringing people together and talking about and working on their personal salvation. Those are two very different sorts of Christians, among other things. And it seems to me that this time has been a time when that's becoming more clear to people. And it's not as clear as I wish it was, but I think because people are able to kind of catch these things online and see them online, it's easier to see the contrast, because you're never going to walk into either church if you're not a church person, but you can catch them online. And so for example, I have a friend who is very much a social justice prophetic pastor, but he's also doing a daily live stream. His are very much, he starts with scripture and he explores the meaning in the texts, and it's still like doing a Sunday sermon. And he's basically doing a sermon every day. And although it felt to me in the beginning, like time-wise, I was choosing to do a sermon every day, I don't think mine are sermons in that sense. So my Sunday is still look at the text, talk about the text, see what message I find in the text. But the daily reflections are more about what's going on in the world and how do we respond to that out of a deep moral center. And so that's kind of how I go about making choices about what I'm going to blog about and talk about, is what are the issues that are troubling my spirit today? And that's what I talk about. And I don't necessarily come up with a text, although occasionally there's one that strikes me. Like I did my blog the other day and realized that I was really feeling the psalmists, and there are numerous psalms that say, "How long, O Lord?" Mm-hmm. And that was my lament, is "How long, O Lord?" And then I love John Wesley has the three fundamental rules, and they are do no harm, do good, and stay in love with God. And I love how he says stay in love with God, not love God, but stay in love with God. Usually that's kind of the guide I use to figure out what I'm going to talk about. And for me, one of the hopeful things, and there are actually a lot of hopeful things, but one of the hopeful things is that people who have no church connections are still reading, commenting on, watching, paying attention to the stuff that I'm posting. And my sense from the responses is that people are still looking for a moral compass. People are still wanting to do the difficult work of being a moral being, an ethical being. In fact, the blog that got absolutely the most attention of any was one in which I sort of went through what I think of as the ethical principles that we need to be looking at as we make difficult choices. And the virus pandemic has given us sort of that perfect laboratory in which to talk about what does it say about our ethical system when we have people who are willing to explicitly say we should have businesses open back up knowing that X number of lives are going to be lost. We are willing to sacrifice those lives, not my life, but their lives, in order to restart the economy. What are the ethical implications of that? And what I said on my blog is, so think about that. Think about what moral principles are involved in getting there. And then ask yourself how comfortable you are with what turn out to be the moral principles that are guiding your choices. you know, there's hope because people are wanting to do that hard ethical work. And I find that hopeful.
I think that's one of the columns we published just yesterday on Faves. Yeah. And thank you for all the work you're doing. I see how busy you are, and I appreciate that you still show up to some of our digital events that we were doing and stuff. I think that's really cool, so I appreciate that.
Well, I value Spokane Faves. It has been, I think, of all the communities that I've been part of in Spokane, you know, the Occupy community and the social justice community and that, I think of all the communities I've been part of, Spokane Faves is probably the one that has been the biggest gift.
Wow, thank you.
Because it has brought together such a diversity of people who want to have those serious, difficult conversations.
That's our
and I love that.
Thank you. I love it too. That's the whole point. It's not easy every day, but it's important. And I'm so glad people are supporting it and are interested in it. So That was Rev. Deb Conklin, known as Pastor Deb, talking about self-reflection, technology, and hope. You can find some of her columns on our homepage at SpokaneFaves.com. That's SpokaneFAVS.com. Thanks for listening to Faves Forward. If you're enjoying this podcast, please go over to Spotify or Apple Podcasts and leave us a review. We'll see you next time.